I understand the occasion for this Mass is first to solemnize the First Communion of, how many is it? Three? Six? Is it eight? That's the first reason for this Mass. The second reason, I understand, is to enroll as many as have not yet been enrolled in the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. A third reason, I understand, is again to enroll people in the confraternity of the Miraculous Medal. I'm very happy to be here. My first occasion of offering Mass for all the children. And it is St. Michael's Academy. Am I correct? I offered my first Mass in St. Michael's Church in Cleveland. I feel at home. I would like to share something with you about the Holy Eucharist. And I would like to ask three questions. Whom do we receive when we receive Holy Communion? Is it Jesus? Next question. Why did Jesus give us the Holy Eucharist? Because Jesus loves us, right? Third question. How should we receive Jesus? All right. We are to be, first of all, in sanctifying grace. I'll bet none of you children know what sanctifying grace is. Any of you know what sanctifying grace is? Very good. It is a grace we receive at baptism, and the grace, which means that we are not in what kind of sin? You're not in mortal sin. So as we go over each of those three questions, whom do we receive when we receive Holy Communion? Why do we receive? And how should we receive our Lord? You answered correctly. When we go to Holy Communion, we receive Jesus. I have more questions. Most of my life was spent in teaching, and the best way to teach is to ask questions. he received Jesus in Holy Communion. But who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. But I have another question for you. Jesus is God. Question. Is God everywhere? God is everywhere. Now the hard one. God is everywhere. Is Jesus everywhere? Jesus is everywhere. Let me. Oh, this is wonderful. Is God in this microphone? Is God in this microphone? Well, you said Jesus is God. But is Jesus in this microphone? Is Jesus in this microphone? I had Mass this morning at Jesu Church in Detroit. And I asked myself, should you really be going to Ann Arbor? Now I know I have a reason for coming here. God is everywhere. But then, if you receive Jesus in Holy Communion, what's the difference? If Jesus is everywhere, why go to Holy Communion? Real loud. Is Jesus in Holy Communion the way I've heard you saying he is everywhere? What's the difference? How is Jesus in the Holy Eucharist in a way that he is not anywhere else? Please. He is in the Blessed Sacrament. How? With his body and blood. When did the Holy Eucharist begin? The Holy Eucharist began at the Last Supper. What did Jesus do at the Last Supper? He changed bread and wine into his own living body and blood. In Holy Communion, then, we receive Jesus not only as God, who he is everywhere, but God who became man. Does Jesus in the Holy Eucharist have his hands and his feet? Does Jesus in the Holy Eucharist have hands and feet? Did you say? Well, is the whole Jesus in the Holy Eucharist? Yes. So he must be there with his hands and feet, with his head, with his eyes. Big question. Does Jesus in the Holy Eucharist have a heart? Yes. Is it the same Jesus that you receive in Holy Communion that is now in heaven? Same Jesus? Now, next question. You said Jesus gave us the Holy Eucharist because he loves us. When we love someone, we want to be near that person, right? You love your parents. You want to be with them. And I notice there are 1, 2, 3, any more, babies in arms. The more we love someone, the nearer we want to be to the one we love. Jesus loves us so much, he wants to be so near us that he wants to be within us. How often should we receive Holy Communion? Every? My hearing is not so good. Did he say every? Did you say every single day? Whoa. Well, pardon me for adding something. Okay. Every time. Did you say every day? Did I hear you correct? Every day. Children, I hope we'll meet again sometime in the future. But whatever you forget, try not to forget. And your parents are here, so they hear me saying this too. We should go to Holy Communion honest. We should go to Holy Communion every day. Do everything you can to get to Holy Communion every day. My church is far away. So what? But I have no way of getting to church every day. Get to church every day. Third question. How? Jesus gave us the Holy Eucharist because he loves us. How are we to receive our Lord? We said, first of all, with no big sin in our souls. However, this is a strange question. When we receive Holy Communion, we receive what we call grace from God, a light for our minds and strength for our wills. Does everyone receive the same amount of blessing from Holy Communion? Well, let me change the question. Does everyone receive the same Jesus? Yes. However, do some people receive more from Jesus than others? Did you say? No. Again, thanks for your answers. Now I understand why I came to Ann Arbor. Of course, you will think it's the same Jesus, and therefore we should all receive the same blessings when we receive Him. However, if we are more in love with Jesus, does He give us more when we go to Holy Communion? Please? Did you say yes or no? No. Again, thanks for your answers. Let me put it on a very, very simple level. I'm keeping my vocabulary down as far as I can to one-syllable words. Do we love someone more if they love us more? Do we? Yes. If we love Jesus more, does He love us more? Yes. Thanks. So the secret in going to Holy Communion is to be as good as you can, to obey your mother and father, to get up on time, to do your homework, to pay attention in class, not to get angry, not to call others names. The better you are, the more Jesus loves you. Is that true? Yes. And therefore, the better you are when you receive Holy Communion, the more Jesus will give you. One last statement. Our Lord loves us so much that He not only gives us in Holy Communion, gives us Himself, but is Jesus on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. Is Jesus in the tabernacle in every Catholic church? Yes. Does Jesus want us to visit Him in the tabernacle? Yes. I have two recommendations to make to all of you, especially you children. Receive our Lord in Holy Communion every day you can, and speaking to your parents, whatever you do, give your children the good example of receiving our Lord every day. I lost my father. He died when I was 1 year old. I never knew my father. I was raised by my widowed mother, the only child. But I never remember from childhood that my mother did not go to Holy Communion every day. You parents, if you want to teach your children, give them the example of a great love of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Again, speaking to your parents, if you want to teach your children faith in and love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, give your children the example of being, as often as you can, as much as you can, before the Holy Eucharist. Again, I will mention my mother. I happen to be from Cleveland. My mother took me to the shrine of Our Lady in Cary, Ohio. We took the train and we got to Cary, Ohio in the late evening of August the 14th. I was 5 years old. My mother took me to the church, Our Lady of the Presentation. We probably got there about 8 o'clock in the evening. My mother was on her knees in chapel from about 8 in the evening until morning mass at 7 o'clock the next morning. I got sleepy, so she told me to stretch out, and I had a very comfortable sleep in the pew all night. But I am here speaking to you as a priest because I learned to love Jesus in the Holy Eucharist from my mother. Dear parents, there is no greater gift you can give your children here on earth, none, than a deep love for our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Because you see, the Holy Eucharist is Jesus Christ. We were not made to stay here. Where do we all want to go, you children? Where do we all want to go? We all want to go to heaven. And who is waiting for us in heaven? Jesus. And when he calls us, he will embrace us and receive us into that home for which we were made, on one condition, that here on earth we not only tell Jesus, I love you, but we show it in two ways. By doing everything that Jesus wants us to do, and by loving Him in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus, Son of Mary, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, we believe in you. We believe you are really in the Holy Eucharist. Strengthen our faith here on earth so we may possess you and you possess us for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
If there is one lesson that runs throughout the Gospels, it is the lesson of humility. Only on one occasion did Christ directly tell us what we are to learn from Him when He said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." All the problems in society from the dawn of the human race, every crisis in history, every problem in the family, every difficulty between people, the root cause of all our problems in life is pride. It is not coincidental that among the seven capital sins, the first should be pride. All sin stems from pride. All virtue is based on humility. It is well, at least for a moment, to ask ourselves, what is this indispensable virtue on which Christianity is based? In a word, what is humility? Humility begins in the mind. The mind recognizes who I am and truthfully acts on the recognition. The mind recognizes that except for God, we would be what we were 9 months before we were born, exactly, mathematically, nothing. The mind recognizes that soon after we die, our body will corrupt, decay, and disappear. Every morning, as I check the Jesuit necrology, now for the Chicago, Detroit, Missouri, and Wisconsin provinces, the older I get, the more names, one after another, my former teachers, directors, presidents of universities, just names, nothing but names. And yet, though it is so obvious that except for God, we were nothing, and we are who we are, yet this nothing has been made into a rational human being with one faculty, the faculty of mind, to recognize our nothingness in the eyes of God, and our will to act on that nothingness. If there is one virtue we should daily examine our consciences on, it is our pride. Beginning with a speaker. As long as I live, I'll never forget Sister Gorgonia. In the fifth grade, I was sitting in the back of the classroom. She stopped the class and called out, "Johnny, stop showing off." And I've got to watch it, and I know I'll have to my dying day. Lord Jesus, you want nothing more than the honesty of our humility. Protect us from pride in thought, pride in our will, pride in our bearing, pride in our speech. Teach us, dear Jesus, there is a sure road to hell, and that is pride. And there is only one way to heaven, and that is humility. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The short gospel we've just read, where Christ tells his disciples, after they complained that somebody has been working miracles in Christ's name, but he's not one of us. Let's stop him. Can teach us many things. But I think one thing it should teach us is that, and not only in recent years, but over the centuries, there is a profound kinship between all those who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe he is indeed the Son of the Virgin Mary, who is the Son of God. Ecumenism is real. Those of us in the business, as I've said more than once, distinguish two kinds of people in the Christian unity movement: the ecumenists and the ecumeniacs. Ecumenism has become, in some circles, a name for many abuses. However, we believe everyone who is baptized, condition one, everyone who believes that Jesus is God. Number two, and everyone who believes that without Christ's passion and death, there would be no salvation, is a Christian, is a brother of ours. And I hesitate saying this, but there are people who are not professedly Catholic, but Christian, I mean it, who can put some of us Catholics to shame. We need to examine our own commitment to Jesus Christ. Billy Graham and the other famous evangelists who are not Catholic can draw thousands, and they really mean it when they ask the people to step forward and accept Jesus as their Savior. Christianity is not a speculative religion. Christianity is faith in and dedication to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Understanding kindness with those who do not share the fullness of our faith is at the heart of ecumenism. But let me tell you, in our country, we've reached an all-time low in the number of people becoming Catholic. An all-time low. You know why? Because we Catholics are not giving the example, are not living up to what our faith tells us we should be. And especially a strong, deep, fervent, loving dedication to the person of the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to examine our own lives, to see how much you really mean, you really mean in our lives. How often, dear Jesus, are you on our minds? How often are you in our hearts? How often do we speak to you? How often do we, during the day, pronounce your holy name? Help us, dear Savior, to know you, to love you, to think of you, to cherish you, to be as frequently as we can in your company, so that others seeing us may be attracted to the faith we profess, so that, and dear Jesus, it is centuries overdue that your prayer at the Last Supper should be fulfilled, and your prayer to your Heavenly Father, Father, that they may be one, as you are one with me, and I with you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The gospel we've just read deserves not a homily, but a two-semester course on the indissolubility of marriage. Over the centuries, Christ's teaching on this has been the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the test of authentic Christianity. First, it is infallible teaching that no one ever tell you that the church has never solemnly defined anything in the moral order. Not true. It is defined, and surely this is in the moral order. It is therefore irreversible teaching. I repeat, this is infallible truth. Three conditions for an absolutely indissolvable marriage. Both baptized before marriage. Both entering into a valid contract, knowing what they're doing and want to do it. And thirdly, natural consummation. Contraceptive intercourse does not consummate a marriage. It is first then infallible teaching. I prefer the word irreversible teaching. Secondly, it is humanly impossible teaching. If you want to know what is supernatural, this is it. It is beyond the power of human nature, without the grace of God, to remain faithful to, I repeat, this humanly impossible teaching of Jesus Christ. There has never been a religion in history. There is not now. There never will be any except authentic Catholic, Roman Catholic religion that teaches this. This is the, and I want to repeat again, the three capitals, T, H, and E. This is the reason why there have over the centuries been so many departures from the Catholic Church. This is it. Thirdly, where this teaching has been observed, a marriage has been considered indissolvable. It is there that the Catholic faith is witnessed to and truly practiced. In other words, the Catholic Church is to be judged in any given era of her history, any given part of the world, by the fidelity of her bishops to this teaching. That is why, in one generation, six whole nations and the bishops of six countries lost their Catholic faith. Why? Because they refused to accept Christ's teaching that sacramental consummated marriage is indissolvable by any human means.